Good morning, church.
Good morning.
What an amazing day today. Praise God. Today's verse is Luke chapter 18, verse 18. It's on page 1052. Give you guys a little set. Okay. Luke 18, verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name's Andy. I'm a member of the church here. A special welcome to you if you're visiting, or if you are a friend, family of anybody who's been baptized. It's wonderful to have you with us this morning. We're doing a series on love of another kind at the moment, and I'm going to be looking at what it means to receive God's love. Now, I don't know whether any of you have ever watched the American program comedy Seinfeld. It's a particular favorite of mine. And there are two characters in it, Jerry and Elaine. One day they walk into a car rental, car hire place, because they want to hire a car. and they go up to the counter and they say, Jerry says, "I've made a reservation for a small compact." And the lady behind the counter says, looks at her and says, "I'm afraid we don't have that car." And Jerry looks back at the lady behind the counter and says, "But I made a reservation." And the woman says to him, "Sir, I know what a reservation is." And at that moment, Jerry just looks back at her and goes, "I don't think you do. Because if you knew what a reservation is, I'd have my car." And then he says, "You see, anybody can take reservations. You know, anybody can take reservations." And he flaps around pulling reservations from everywhere. "The secret of a reservation is to keep the reservation. Then I'd have my car." And as we look at this series around love, I'd like to suggest to you today that actually quite often, or very often in our culture, we don't know what love is in the same way that we might not, that the lady behind the counter didn't know when talking to Jerry what a reservation is. Very good around taking reservations, not so good about the crucial thing with a reservation is that you keep it. And the thing about love isn't feeling love. The crucial thing in the Bible isn't about feeling love. It's not even about saying that you love somebody, although all those might be part of it. There's something about the love of God that we see in today's story that is truly love of another kind that we fail to understand in our culture. I was looking at that song by Robbie Williams You know, I just want to feel real love. There's a hole in my soul. You can see it in my face. It's a real big place. Now, actually, God's love doesn't fill a little hole in us or a hole in us. God's love transforms us. God's love may affect your feelings, but it isn't just about feelings. So let's recap the story. If we could just bring up the slide. Let's recap the story. So what happens is there's a ruler, a rich ruler. He must have been a pretty important person, actually. So it's interesting just to think this would have been a very significant, known person in that community. Comes up to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says back to him, "Hey, why do you call me good? Nobody's good apart from God. But anyhow, you know the commandments: don't steal, don't rob." And the man says back to him, "Okay, well, I've not done those things since I was little. I've kept all those commandments." And Jesus looks back at him at that moment and then says, "Ah, but you still lack one thing. You still lack one thing." Now, that expression, "one thing," is used 5 or 6 times in the New Testament. A few times by Jesus, a few times by Paul about one thing. After today, go away and look at what those one things are. Because when Jesus says you lack one thing, we really want to make sure we understand what that one thing is. And he says to him, "Go away, sell everything you've got, give it away, and then come follow me." The ruler's sad. He stays there talking to Jesus, and then Jesus looks at him and looks at everybody else and says, it's really difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he says that extraordinary thing, it's actually as difficult as trying to get a camel through the eye of a needle. And at that, all the people around Jesus, the disciples, Peter, start thinking, "My word, what hope is there for us then?" And Jesus says, "Well, it's actually impossible with you, but all things are possible with God." So let's go through, if we can go through the slide, just looking at, first of all, the question. So what's the question he asks? It is a great question the ruler asks. He's to be commended for the question. Why don't we ask this question more? If you're a visitor here today, ask this question. If you're a member of the church, debate this question with people. So his question is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I want to look at the answer that that Jesus gives. Because actually, it surprises me, the answer. So he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, to all you mature Christians here, and if you're nodding at this point, be careful. Don't you think at that point that Jesus would have 4 points beginning with P, like I would? Aha, what must I do to be saved? Well, here we go. Here's the first P. But he doesn't, does he? He looks at him, and he doesn't give the answer that actually you'd expect. And I think at that point, Jesus looks at him, and he knows him. He looks at the ruler and he knows him. And you know what? He looks at you and he knows you. So he gives an answer that is very specific to the ruler's situation. And to some extent, the ruler has told him a lot by saying, "Good teacher." That's how he addresses Jesus. So he knows exactly it. And he asks him, "Why do you call me good?" Because only God is good. And then his answer is actually, "You know the commandments, don't you?" So Jesus' answer is, it's not, and I think, just be careful when you're having conversations with people, know the person and respond to their question. Respond to where they are, because that's what Jesus did here. He says, "So you know the commandments, don't you?" Now let's look at, so that was Jesus' initial answer. Now let's look at that was Jesus' initial answer. Now let's look at the ruler's answer. What does the ruler say? If you've got the passage, do keep the passage open in front of you. You've got it. What does the ruler say back? Actually, he says, you know, so Jesus has said, you know the commandments, don't you? You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder. And then verse 21, the ruler replies, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Really? Really? All these I have kept since I was a boy. Now, if you know your Bible and you know the Ten Commandments, you'll know when Jesus does his Sermon on the Mount about the Ten Commandments, you know, he says, don't get angry because you'll be subject to judgment. And actually, he makes some comparison between murder and anger. He talks about, you know, adultery as there's a comparison with lust. So actually, when you lust, there's something of adultery involved. So the man has replied, the ruler has replied to Jesus, I kept all these commands. And Jesus, you know, it must be looking back at it and thinking, really? Have you maintained that standard? And I think the man has given away by saying, in the way he addressed Jesus, good teacher, that that's what he thinks he is. He thinks he's a good teacher. And also, the man, by his line of questioning and by saying, yes, I've kept those commands, has said that he thinks he can heal his own soul. He thinks he can maintain the standard God has set that will mean he'll access eternal life. And that is, in the Bible, that is an unforgivable sin. To think that you can access eternal life through yourself making yourself good. Now, I'm not saying, believe me, my job means I see a lot of people do amazing things and bring about tremendous change, do good and wonderful things in their lives, who may say they don't know Jesus. But here the man's saying, what does it take to get into to get eternal life? What does it take to cure my soul? And you can't do that yourself. You cannot cure your soul yourself. So, now, Jesus again then comes back to him with this extraordinary instruction where he says, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And at that, the man is very sad. Jesus goes, you know, comes back to him and says, you know, it's really difficult for the rich to enter heaven. It is really difficult for the rich to enter heaven. And I think we find that passage, and I quite often, you know, get that passage quoted at me as, you know, it's really difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, then people go, you know, it's as difficult as getting a camel through the eye of a needle. And over time, I think people have looked at that passage and said, can we explain that a different way? And apparently, you know, apparently in bits of Syria, the gate next to the big gate that camels went through, you know, burdened up with loads of stuff, there was a little gate that was called the needle gate. And, you know, so apparently we're just saying, well, you know, could a camel a bit taller than me get through a gate there? And you think, well, perhaps if you unpacked it and shed it with all its stuff, you could. There's another interpretation of that that's been given, that perhaps the camel is another word for a big, thick rope or a cable. And perhaps that's what... So we try and explain this thing Jesus says about, you know, could a camel get through the eye of a needle in other ways? Apparently there is very little evidence that there is a gate called the eye of a needle, and I don't see how the word camel can mean rope or... I think that it is exactly what it says, which it is really difficult for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. It's exactly what it means. You know, in fact, I'd say that's impossible. So if you're here today and you're rich, you know, Jesus says it's impossible for you to get into heaven. And if you're here today and you're poor, it's impossible for you to get into heaven by your own efforts. But with God, all things are possible. So now just to be particularly sensitive to those of you who are rich And let's think about world wealth here. I think there's lots of people in this country who are rich. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man, and it's pretty clear he was a member of the council, and he's described by John as a good man and a follower of Jesus. So we do see examples in the Bible of rich people who do appear to get into heaven. So let's go back then and look at what, therefore, was the one thing Jesus was saying the ruler lacked. What was the real meaning of what he was saying? So if he said in verse 24, sorry, no, it's not. It is verse 22. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing." What do you think that one thing might be? I think he didn't know. Very, very simply, I don't think he knew that Jesus loved him. I don't think he knew that Jesus loved him. But that's love of another kind. It's love of a kind that he knew Jesus died for him in order to pay the price for his sins. And on the third day, he rose again as we saw the people rising in the baptismal pool, conquering their sin and entering eternal life. Love of another kind that they have to accept from Jesus, not something they can earn through selling everything they've got, giving it away. Now, the consequence, if they knew that, and I don't want to, we know from elsewhere in the Bible, riches and materialism is a great temptation and a risk in life. So I'm not belittling the instruction he gives of, I think Jesus knew the ruler, and he knew in that ruler's case that the thing that would highlight in that guy's case, the fact that he didn't know God loved him, was the riches he had and the things he possessed. So he chose to highlight that in the man's life and say, go sell everything, give it away, then come follow me. And that highlighted how the man didn't know Jesus loved him and didn't know that that love would set him free, from materialism and would enable him to come follow him. So, if you know Jesus loves you, it does set you free to love. It sets you free to forgive. It's a very different type of love. And, in life, every now and again, you come across people who really love a different way, who seem to have very big hearts, who can forgive people and fill a person with encouragement. Even though they might be down, who might have experienced extreme pain and had very tough lives, yet they're still really loving and caring. And that is regardless of their circumstances. If you look at Jesus, actually, he wasn't a very free person. He didn't have a lot of money. He didn't travel very far. He lived in an occupied territory. And he chose, in the end, to bind himself to a cross to die, and yet he was able to love freely. And that is the only type of love that can really change people. So that despite his circumstances, he was not free in almost every way we would think you need to be free. He didn't live in a democratic society, he lived in an occupied country. But he was free to love, and his love, if you accept it, can enable you to be free to love. And like the rich young ruler, it can set you free from, in his case, materialism, but it can set you free from whatever holds you back from knowing Jesus and from following him. So if the band and the ministry team could come up. I'd like to I'd like to suggest a couple of responses. So if you could bow your heads, please. Now, the first one, I thought in advance as I was preparing this that there are some people here today who do still lack one thing. You do still lack the one thing that we've been talking about, and that is knowing that God loves you, knowing Jesus loves you, he died for you. And I want to give you a chance to accept that now, to accept the one thing that you lack. And God might have been highlighting, just as he highlighted, as Jesus highlighted to the ruler, he highlighted his materialism. As we were talking, God highlighted one thing to you. You might see that as conscience, but something came up that is blocking you knowing that one thing and accepting the love of God. So if that's you, I'd like you to raise your hand. You don't know God and you'd like to accept that one thing you lack, the love of God that can wash away your sins and give you access to eternal life. If you don't know that, if you'd like to raise your hand. And then the second group of people who I'd like to ask to respond are those of you who are a little bit like Peter. If you read on to verse 28, your counters, so you count the cost. So Peter says, we've left all we had to follow you. And although you know Jesus, you've got into the habit of counting the downside of it. But you've lost that freedom to love and the joy and the understanding of his grace. That you contribute nothing. And that actually it doesn't matter if you make mistakes, because he's done everything to make you whole before him, to make you acceptable before him. If that's you, just as we begin worship, I'd like to pray for you. So if you're in either of those groups, do come down, find one of the ministry team. If you still lack one thing, come find the ministry team. And if you're a counter and you're counting the cost of being a Christian and you've lost the understanding of his wonderful grace and forgiveness, then come forward for ministry.